everyone this afternoon. Those of us that have set aside the time to come out and to study another portion of God's Word. I guess as I was looking at the schedule this morning, I get to frame out the meeting this year, since this will be our meeting starts next Lord's Day. Lord willing, we'll all be here for that, and we'll be doing the lesson now, and I guess the Lord's Day morning after the meeting. So I always feel a little bit of pressure on that, because the people that we have here for the meetings are always so good, and you feel like you have to carry on. So now, to start out, maybe I'll start out on a good note, and I want to kind of talk about the idea of being prepared or preparation. It's certainly something that we've been doing here with regards to the meeting coming up. The yard looks great, and I apologize that Joy and I didn't have the opportunity to come out and help with that, but those who did were able to do that, did a great job. Everything looks good. All of our advertising is in place. All the other congregations have been notified, so we see that our preparation for the upcoming meeting has been done, and it's been done in a good fashion. What we want to look at this afternoon for a short time is with regards to being prepared, is to always be prepared, because we never know what life is going to bring. I'm sure all of us at one time or another have things happened in our lives that literally turn things upside down. You think things are going one way, and all of a sudden something else happens. And it's not always something bad. Sometimes it's something good that turns our fortune around, or causes things to spin in a different direction, so to speak. And if we're a people that are prepared and ready for whatever comes our way, we are more ready to deal with it. And in nothing that we do upon the earth is it more important to be prepared than in our spiritual lives. And we're going to look at some scriptures this afternoon that point that out and help us to understand how important it is for us to prepare ourselves and to constantly be in a state of preparedness, because, as we said, we never know what's going to happen. We never know when Jesus is going to come again. We look at the condition of the world today and the moral decline, especially in this country, and the various things that are happening. Any time anymore it seems like there's any kind of natural disaster, all the doomsayers start coming out and predicting that the time for the end of the world is at hand. And as we realize and know, no one knows that except for God. But as Christians, we must constantly be prepared for that day or for our lives to end, because if we're not, we're going to eternally suffer the consequences of that. So we're going to read some scriptures this afternoon and look at some examples that the Bible teaches us about being prepared and how important it is for us, and how it's something we should remind ourselves of from time to time to make sure that we're prepared. The first scripture we're going to read this afternoon, is from the third chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." As we read in these verses, we see the coming of John the Baptist. We know that John was a cousin of Jesus. Their mothers were cousins, so I guess that would make them second cousins. But this was the one that, Matthew records here, that was prophesied of Isaiah. John was the one who came before Jesus, and as we said, we're talking about being prepared, and we see that John the Baptist said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." The children of Israel at this time had fallen out of favor with God, as they had done so many times in the past. As Dennis brought out this morning, they had been taken into Babylon about 600 years before Jesus was born and came into the world. And they had been in servitude to one empire or another ever since that time, and they were desiring to have their own control over their lives, even though the Romans pretty much let them do what they wanted, let them worship the way they wanted to. They were still obligated to pay the Romans taxes, and they were a people that didn't like to be burdened by anything more than they had on them already. And we see that one of the reasons why John was sent before Jesus is what, as it's pointed out in these verses, was to straighten the Jews out, so to speak, and get them prepared for the fact that the Messiah that had been promised to them was coming. And obviously they weren't prepared, or it wouldn't have been necessary for John to go ahead of Jesus to prepare them. They wanted the Messiah that had been promised. They were looking for freedom from the Romans, and as Dennis pointed out this morning, they were looking for a kingdom. They were looking for an earthly kingdom to be established where they could rule over everybody else. But all these things they were looking for, but they weren't prepared for what came. And we know that we realize that that was Jesus, and when he came, he came preaching and teaching about a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, and they weren't prepared to receive him, and that's why so many of the Jews hated Jesus so much, to the point where they demanded of the Romans that he be crucified and shut up, so to speak, because they were so far out of line with what they should be doing under the old law that they couldn't accept the new covenant that Jesus taught, because they were out of line. And we see today the same thing. Many people who profess to be Christians, who profess to believe in God, and even profess that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they don't go to church, they don't read their Bibles, they don't do the things that are necessary to prepare themselves for what the Bible teaches them, and they're lost. They think they've got it together, but they're lost. They're as lost as someone who doesn't know anything about God or Jesus or the Bible, because they're not prepared, and they're not trying to prepare themselves for the things that they need to know. Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Here Jesus points out two circumstances that happened in the time in which he lived. One of them was the fact that Pilate had been involved, as he was of pagan nature, had been involved in apparently some human sacrifices. And, of course, this was something that was looked upon as an abomination to the Jews, and any civilized people, I would think, would feel the same way about it. And he mentioned some other people that a tower had fallen on. And Jesus asked the question in both cases if the people that were listening to him thought that these people were sinners above, that they were worse sinners than anyone else because these things happened to them. And, of course, we realize that that's ridiculous. What he was pointing out to them was that these things happened to them. They were unaware that they were going to happen. If you knew a tower was going to fall on you, you'd get out of the way. You wouldn't just stand there and let it fall on you. But the fact was that their lives were taken from them unexpectedly, whether by an accident or by the cruel designs of someone else. The fact was that they were taken unaware, and they weren't prepared for what came next. And as we realize, as we study the Bible and as we come here and worship God, we realize that there is something on the other side of this life. When the life that we have leaves our body, we realize that our soul is going to spend an eternity somewhere. And there's only two choices, and the choice of where it's spent is not dictated by us, but it's dictated by how we act and how we live. And if we're not prepared for that, just like these people, a tower falls on you, an airplane falls on you, a car runs you over in the street, any number of things can happen to you that could take your life from you unexpectedly. And if you're not prepared for it, you're going to pay for it. And that's the point that Jesus was trying to say when he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That didn't mean they weren't going to die. It just meant that they wouldn't die prepared to meet him on the day of judgment. And it's something I think it's very important for us to remember. And that's why we say we need to live every day like it's our last. There's a beer commercial that says you should grab all the gusto in life you can get. And we realize that that's not what God intends for us. But he does intend for us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready at any time, and that's why we live a life in keeping with being a Christian in the Scriptures, and that's why we assemble here to learn the things it is that God wants us to do, because the more we learn, the more prepared we are, and the better our chances are of obtaining that home in heaven when our life is required of us. And life is such a fragile thing, we never know, like we say, we never know when it's going to end. Any one of us could drop over it, any kind of disease we didn't even know we had. And it's kind of scary when you start to think about the things that can happen to you physically. But I think what we really need to concentrate on is the things that can happen to us spiritually. And certainly if we aren't ready for that, ready to face Jesus when we die, then we're going to suffer eternally for that. And we need to realize that and be aware of that and to remind ourselves of the importance of being prepared. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here in Jesus, what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, is trying to express the idea to people that the things that you have in this life aren't important because, as the popular saying goes, you can't take it with you. Whatever we have in this life, we're born into this life with nothing. We come into the world naked, and when we leave, we can take nothing with us but the record of the life that we've lived here upon the earth. And when we start putting too much of our trust and too much of our desires into the physical things that we own and the things of this life that we enjoy, and let that take a front seat to our spiritual lives, we're going to pay the consequences for that. And it's important for us to realize, and it's kind of funny, or not funny, but it's kind of interesting to think why Jesus would have said this at the time and place in which he lived, because we realize that many of the people that came out to hear Jesus were poor and destitute, and he's talking about the treasure that they may have obtained. And then we think about the things that we have today, and we realize how easy it is for us to get off track and to get wrapped up in the things that we have and to put them before we put our relationship with God. And we realize that we can't do that. It doesn't mean that we can't have those things. We just have to have the proper perspective on how we look at them. We'll continue reading a few more verses in Matthew chapter 6. Excuse me. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The scriptures throughout the New Testament tell us that that God looks at things in black and white. There is no gray. There is no shades of gray. It's either black or white. We're either for him or against him. And we see that idea recur throughout the scriptures. Just like he says here, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon here means wealth or material goods. And we can't try to straddle the fence. If you remember in the book of Revelations, Jesus said he would rather you be cold or hot, and if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. So God really is looking for people that want to commit one way or the other. Either you commit to him and you do it wholeheartedly, as was pointed out this morning, Dennis was talking about concerning Jesus as being our Lord, you either do it all or you're wasting your time, so to speak. And that's what the scriptures point out to us here, that we have to commit 100% and we have to stay committed and not lose our focus. And obviously that's what Jesus is trying to, the point he's trying to get across here is that we shouldn't lose our focus and continue to have a singleness, or he says if our eye is single, in other words, that we have a vision that's straight ahead of us and a plan, and we don't deter from it. I will continue reading verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus here is telling us that when we put him first, all other things will fall into place. And again, in this idea of being prepared, we must constantly consider the things that we do and make sure that we are putting God first. And it's very easy for us to lose sight of that and for us to lose track. As we said, it seems like the longer the world goes on, and especially in this country, the easier it is to lose sight of those things, because things are becoming more and more convenient, and it would be a hard thing to see many of the people that I know anyway have to go back and try to live the way people even did 20 or 30 years ago, let alone 100 or 200 or 2,000 years ago. People are nowadays are soft, and that's not being condescending or mean, it's just the way it is. People just don't want to have to do much, and we know that as Christians we have to work. That's one of the things that God expects us to do. We can't just be baptized and then show up on Lord's Day morning for services and expect that we've done enough. He expects us to continue to work, and that's part of preparing, not only preparing us for the kingdom of heaven, but preparing others who will follow after us in keeping care of the church and perpetuating the cause and kingdom of God here upon the earth. Not only do we have to make sure that we're prepared, but we have to prepare our children and the younger members of the congregation to take over when the older ones are no longer with us. And all the things that we do, we can see, are in getting ready and preparing. And it's very important for us to think about that. Think a little bit more about the scriptures that we just read. We realize that we do have earthly goods, and it's important for us to take care of them. They're things that God has blessed us with. And again, if we keep them in the proper perspective and put God first, we realize that he doesn't want to deprive us of those things. And we think about the things that we have. I think if I added up my the bills that Joy and I have, we pay more for insurance than anything else that we have, any other bill that we have, and there's insurance that we need that we don't have. You can buy insurance for your cars, your house, your health, and even your life to help your loved ones after you're gone, and all these things are important to have, but we also realize that the most important insurance that we can have is the insurance that we get every time that we meet down here. And we have the assurance that if we do the things that God wants us to do, we'll have a home in heaven, because all the physical insurance that you can buy in this life is not going to matter once we're gone. And once we're gone, we realize that one day we'll face the judgment, and we better ensure that we're going to have a favorable answer from Jesus when we have to answer for the life that we've lived. Another excellent example of preparation, and we don't have time to read it this evening, but if you go back on your own time, if you would, go to the 12th chapter of Exodus and read the first 28 verses of that chapter. That's where Moses records the things that took place during the first Passover. And we can paraphrase that by reminding everyone of the story. I'm sure we all remember it very well, of how the Israelites were in bondage into Egypt. They were slaves. They were being forced to make bricks and to build pyramids and temples and things of this nature for the Egyptians. God heard their cry and decided to choose them as his people. And we know that he appointed Moses as the leader, and Aaron was the brother of Moses. And they went before Pharaoh with various plagues, trying to get Pharaoh to release the Jews and let them go out of the land of Egypt. And finally, the last plague that he was going to bring upon them was the death of the firstborn. And God had some very specific things that the Jews were to do in order to prepare for this. And we know that they took a lamb that was unblemished and unspotted, and they sacrificed that lamb, and they took the blood of that lamb, and they put it on the outside of their doors, so that when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, that the firstborn in those houses that were marked with the blood would not be taken. And this was finally the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, and it was the thing that finally caused Pharaoh to let the Israelites leave the land of Egypt. And of course, we know that this is all a reflection on the sacrifice that Jesus would make for us. And it's important, I think, to go back and look at the detail that was given to Moses and Aaron about preparing that. It was very specific. It was very down to the letter, the things that they were to do in order to make that acceptable unto God. And we, of course, we can easily draw the illustration how the way that we live today and the way that we adhere to the Scriptures is just as vital to us. We realize that when we're baptized, we're marked by the blood of Jesus, just as the doors were marked that day. But as we said, that's only the first step in a journey that's going to take us through many trials and tribulations, ups and downs. There's going to be good things that happen to us, and unfortunately, I think a lot of times there's good things that happen to people that actually lead them away from God instead of to God. We realize as we look in some of the people that we know and some of the people who have come and gone in this congregation, it seems like people want to turn to God when all their other avenues or options have been exhausted. They want to turn to God when they need Him most, and when they need to thank Him the most is when they tend to leave. They get a better paying job. They get an offer to take a higher paying job, and they transfer out of the area, and they end up living in a place where it's too far to get to a faithful congregation, and they trade off a better paying job and more money basically for their souls. And certainly we realize that we don't need to do this, and God doesn't want us to do this, and that's why it's important, as we're trying to point out, to be prepared. Just as the Jews prepared the Passover the first time and remembered it throughout their generations, and as we remember it today through the communion as it relates to the death of Jesus, we need to constantly be prepared as well, and be prepared to answer for the life that we've lived. Excuse me. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 26, beginning of verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city of such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. We see here that Jesus, when he knew that his time was at hand, and that he was going to be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, he sent his apostles and his disciples ahead of him to prepare the Passover. And again, we realize, as we just mentioned, this was a reflection. The sacrifice of Jesus was reflected in everything that took place during the original Passover. And as he was going to remember the Passover, as he was a Jew, and lived his life upon the earth as a Jew. It was his obligation as a Jew to observe the Passover, and as he did that, he established the communion that we remember his sacrifice today. But he sent them ahead to prepare for that, because again, this was a solemn occasion, a solemn ceremony, and something that required preparation. It wasn't just something you went and did right away. It was something that had to be planned out. And Jesus did this, and he used that time to, as we said, to establish the communion that we would remember him henceforth until he comes again. It's our duty and obligation as Christians to continue to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And that's something, again, that we have to prepare for. We don't just all show up at the building and it's magically here. Someone from the congregation has taken the responsibility to do that. And it's we should be very thankful, because I actually was in visiting a place one time, and they had to scramble in order to have the communion, because the person that was supposed to prepare it wasn't there or forgot or something. And this is something that we realize is important for us to constantly be prepared. I'd like now to read from John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Here is Jesus. This also takes place during the Last Supper. He tells his apostles that he's going to prepare a place for them. And we think about God and Jesus created the earth and the entire universe in 6 days, and for 2,000 years he's been preparing a place in heaven for us. We can imagine how wonderful it's going to be. And we realize that God continues to extend the time in which he's going to send Jesus back, no doubt in the hopes that as many people as possible will accept the words of the New Testament and become Christians and prepare themselves for the day when Jesus will come. We look at the condition of the world today and the things that are going on, and we think about things that we have recorded in the scriptures of Noah and the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and things of this nature, and we wonder how God can stand to let the world continue. But as we know in John 3:16, he said that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God is holding out hope that I'm sure that as many people as will accept the truth and become Christians and do the things that are necessary. And the New Testament has been, and the church is counting on us to prepare ourselves and to prepare as many others as we can for that day to come, the day when Jesus will come again in the clouds, and he'll call forth those that are his own, and they'll go with him to heaven, and everyone else will suffer the consequences of a life that was not given over to the church. And it's also going to be the fate of those who weren't prepared for the day when Jesus will come again. So we see how important it is that we be prepared, and not only that we're prepared, but that we help other people get ready as well. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson. As always, we offer the services of the church to those who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing?